Welcome to My Millennial Money. I'm Glenn James and you are?
John Pidgeon.
And we are having a chat today around the announcement that was made a little while ago about a moratorium in relation to rent,
okay, yes.
And landlords. Now, I think it's important to note that a moratorium is a temporary prohibition.
A couple of big words to start with today.
It's an early morning. So, a moratorium is a temporary prohibition of an activity. So, basically, ScoMo came out and said, we wanted to place a moratorium on tenants being evicted for the next 6 months.
Yes.
Okay. If they can't pay their rent.
Yep. Can't get kicked out.
Can't get kicked out. Now, it's a two-edged sword, this, because it's a financial issue and a public health issue. Mm. There is some stuff out there today that says it doesn't work if you just stop paying your tenant and you've got $1 million in the bank. Yeah. But it does because they don't want people homeless with a pandemic happening.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't seen the full meat and potatoes yet, have we, in terms of how it's going to play out for every state?
No. And shout out if you are watching on M3TV on YouTube. Apologies for John not wearing pants. But what do you do? He's wearing shorts. Short shorts. So, there you go.
Didn't know there was a dress code.
Well, you do now. Well...
Oh, the whole country, the whole world knows now.
Yeah. Well, it's just more of a... anytime we're recording, we just assume that we're filming now.
Yeah.
But I don't mind whatever you wear.
Yeah.
I'm just more if you're... uncomfortable wearing shorts. I just don't wear shorts on camera.
Yeah, so I'm very comfortable with
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do. So, do you have any initial thoughts about this whole thing? Because there were some topics and comments in the Facebook group, and I've just put another one up, and I'll get some comments from people in a little while. Mm. And it seems to be this two camps emerging. And I guess with anything... any extreme, so extreme left, extreme right,
yeah.
It's always ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we need to find some balance in the middle.
Bit of middle ground, yeah. Look, my first thought is don't abuse the system. The system is you can't get kicked out. That doesn't mean you go and kick down the walls and say, look, I've got no money, even though I'm still holding down a full-time job and spending as normal. I'm just going to take advantage of the system and not pay. That's my general thoughts to begin with. What's yours?
My general thoughts, to me, it's kind of this legal versus moral thing. And if you've got the money, you should pay your rent.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
Okay. And we will talk about a landlord and a tenant, but I'm just talking about a tenant. As without this coronavirus rampaging through the world, like, and we've got to remember, like, it is a global problem and the global economy has basically come to a halt.
Yeah.
So, number one. So, no one is above this. So, all that aside, if you were going through financial hardship and you lost your job, I still think you have a priority to pay your rent first before you pay for other luxuries.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of, because at the moment, all bets are off. So, everyone's budget's going to be all crazy.
Totally.
It's just, for some people, it's going to be, we're living day by day. And that's okay. That kind of rhymes or whatever. But we need to get through this.
Yeah.
So, if you are rebuilding your budget, you need to prioritize food, shelter, transport, because you need to get around, and clothing.
Yeah.
So, if you need... you know, if you're cold, you need to buy a coat, basically. So, we are going into it. So, they form the foundation of any budget. So, if two people got laid off and you're both on $1,500 a fortnight each or $3,000 a fortnight, $1,500 a week, whatever way you cut it, the first thing that should come out of that payment is your rent or your mortgage repayment.
Yeah. So, you're saying no matter who you are out there listening... you shouldn't default on your rent because you've got a responsibility, A, to the landlord, but B, it should be of highest priority because it's a roof over your head.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I've got a caveat to that. And I mean, and this is hard, John, because there's thousands and thousands of people listening to this.
There is.
And we can't give thousands of thousands of different scenarios. So, usually, like when we do these type of chats, we acknowledge that I did a webinar last night and there was 100 people on there. And I said, look, I know there's a variety of ages. I know there's, you know, an 18-year-old and a 60-year-old watching. Yep. I know there's someone on 20 grand a year income, and I know there's someone on 200 grand a year income. Yeah. So, we need to kind of navigate through the middle.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
All learn from this. So,
yeah. So, and there's not take it all literally.
Yeah. So, there's a couple of caveats. I mean, if, for example, there was an issue where you actually, there was a medical event or you had to keep paying for medication or you couldn't pay all the rent because you had to balance this.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to pick up the phone to your landlord and say, hey, got a bit of an issue here. I'm doing my best and have a conversation. So, it's not like, you know, if your kids need medication, I'm not saying don't medicate your kids. Like,
No.
So, I think it just has to be a balanced view and a moral standpoint that I need to pay my rent before I pay my car payment.
Yeah, I'm sure in that example that a lot of Australians would prioritise that differently. Rightly or wrongly, in an ideal world, we've got our buffers in our life for circumstances such as this that are unforeseen. So, we would call upon those to pay the rent, make the car repayments, live okay through these times until we get our job back or earn more money or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I'm saying like creditors, like if you've got a credit card, a car loan or whatever, or debts, personal loans.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be paying the freaking minimum payment before I pay rent.
You wouldn't?
No.
Yeah.
Because the big banks and the big institutions, they know that there's a shat storm and they are putting temporary pauses. Like, you need to call everyone that you owe money to at this time.
Yeah, totally. But then...
But you need to prioritize.
But you would argue that rent's no different then?
No, I think you, as on a human level, I would rather... So, most landlords are people like us as well. And people like us could also have lost their job and doing it tough. So, I think on a human level, I would rather prioritize to ensure that I've got a roof over my head.
Yes.
And that they're looked after rather than a big corporate who's been gouging people for thousands of years.
Yeah, that's right.
If I can just finish. And the credit cards, the reason they are 17% interest rate, because they were willing to loan unsecured, knowing that they might not get that money back anyway.
Some stage, yeah, that's right. So, again, there's no right or wrong here, and we're just thrashing it out together. Mm. But use the example of the car loan and the rent.
Yeah.
For example, you could morally say, well, I need to drive my car. I need a roof over my head. They could be level pegging, regardless of who owns the money for the car loan, whoever owns the house to live in. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's whatever glass you're seeing it through as to which decision you're going to make. But my thinking is, as I said at the start, if you've got the ability to pay the money, don't just abuse the system because it's there available to us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's... And that's it. Like, you might be listening now and are totally outraged at the stuff that I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because if you told me your situation, I might have a different answer because I don't know everyone's situation. But I just think we do, if we've got the money, you've got a moral responsibility.
Totally.
To pay your rent.
Yeah.
Or your mortgage for that matter, John. Like, so at the moment, you could basically call your lender and say, I'm going through financial hardship. I need to defer my payments for 6 months.
Yes.
You could call your lender and say, I need to switch to interest only. And it might be easy to do this stuff at the moment. But if you've got the money, don't.
Well, yeah, it's a bit of a different conversation, that one, because freezing the mortgage or going to interest only might have a financial impact down the track. So
yeah, but I think you'll find if you stop paying rent for 6 months, there hasn't been anything that, you know, ScoMo didn't come out and said, you can't evict anyone and waive their rent for 6 months.
No.
I think you will find there'll be a couple of rental ledgers in deficit.
Yeah, there may be, but it's a bit like using the bond for repairs or something like that. The bond makes up some of it, but it's not going to make up all of it.
Mm.
It's going to be hard to get that back from the tenant should they decide to not pay.
But I guess, if I'm clear, if you're a tenant, if your landlord hasn't reached out to you, I think the nice thing to do would be to let them know that, hey, we're still working, money's not an issue, you'll still get your rent.
Yeah.
Or, hey, we've both been freaking fired because... And no one's above this. Like, I was talking to somebody yesterday who I thought was in a secure role who got made redundant because of this. So, it's just the coronavirus with the economy, it's like pouring water down a footpath. It's going to go through every crack and like it's so wild.
Yeah, there's obviously different levels of impact, isn't there? But it's down the chain that some people might not have yet feeling the effect of.
So, I think the nice thing to do would be whether you have lost your job, whether your income is good, whether it is bad, just have a conversation to the landlord anyway. They would appreciate that.
Yeah, transparency is always key, isn't it?
And then I would say if you are in financial hardship, luxuries might be out the window.
Well, they've got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, no might. It's just got to happen.
Well, I probably, as a wild example, and I always default to this because it's something I never do, so... Because you know how I always like, oh, get rid of the gym payments or whatever. But
the poor old gym owners hating you.
Yeah. But I mean, if, for example, you've got a personal trainer session twice a week, because you can still do that in public.
Yes.
And it's costing you $110 a week and you've just made redundant, the PT's going so you can pay your rent.
Yes.
Morally, I think that's the wise thing to do.
Yeah. On the flip side, your health is more important than ever through this period, isn't it?
Go for a jog.
So, you've got to get it done
some
way, shape,
or form. I'm not saying stop exercising.
No.
Not at all.
You could start through this time.
I always sound so mean.
Because you don't go to the gym and you haven't got a gym membership.
All right. What's something I do that I could probably cut out?
You could maybe sell one of your cars.
Yeah. That's an example.
Yeah.
Bad time to sell a car.
Probably not the best time to sell a car.
But I mean, just hear my heart, John.
Yeah, well, like, you've got the discretionary and non-discretionary, haven't
totally.
You? So, you've got a list in non-discretionary and tick those off first. The discretionary, that can wait.
Yeah. So, it is survival mode.
Yeah.
And just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No.
And if you think, I'm just going to stop paying rent because they're not going to kick me out.
Yeah.
Well, number one, after this 6 months is over... They'll probably kick you out anyway because they know you've still got a job.
You're a bugger through that time.
And you're an a-hole. Yeah. And number two, you'll probably still owe them the money at the end of this anyway.
Mm.
So, I think that's the important thing to know. It's not 6 months free rent for everybody. It's if there's genuine hardship. And I would say on the hardship thing, if you are in hardship, you do have access to your super. I wouldn't be mad if you use that money to pay your rent.
You wouldn't be?
No.
Mm.
Because that's what it's there for. It's hardship.
It is. But again, our listeners are a bit different. They'll have their 3 month buffer up their sleeve in their bank account, won't they?
Oh, John, they would. They're all just so
they don't need their super.
No.
But yeah, in extreme circumstances, it's there.
If they've burned through their buffer and this thing goes on for more than 3 months, I would be
called upon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I'm not investing. I'm not paying extra on any loans. If push comes to shove, tell the credit card company to get stuffed. Who cares if they put you in default or whatever? Yeah. You're going to have to pay the rent back anyway.
Yeah.
And just an interesting thing on this before we talk about landlords, it's nice and cute for ScoMo to come and make this announcement because he's obviously met with the... What are they calling it? The government cabinet.
Yep.
The national cabinet. So, all the premiers and state and territory leaders.
Yeah. Important folk.
Yep. They've announced we're doing a moratorium on rent. Now, again, that's cute, but every state has different tenancy laws. So, I think in Tasmania, they said, we're just stopping anyone getting evicted.
Yeah.
Where in other states, it wasn't clear as like, well, if they're just being a jerk, we're going to evict them because it's not related to corona. So
yeah, well, and just on that, legislation in a number of states has just recently changed as well. Like Queensland, New South Wales, for example, a lot harder to evict tenants than it's ever been. So double down with this as well. It's more in the tenants' favour than it's ever been. That's for sure. So we'll talk about landlords in a minute.
We will. So I guess the long and the short of it is you've just got to check your state-based guides and treat others how you would want to be treated.
Yeah, and I was about to say that before, is that in these sort of times, there's always someone worse off than us. So continue with your generosity, continue thinking about how everyone else is doing, and that includes, obviously, the landlord,
landladies. On LinkedIn, there was someone put a post up about gender pronouns and all that, and they said landlord, it's landlady, and I'm all for the correct pronouns and stuff, but I just said, it's a problem because I know a lot of females who still refer to themselves as a landlord.
Landlord. Well, it's just a common term.
Well, but lord was male.
Yeah, but I don't think people take it that way, do they?
Anyway, this is so beyond the scope of my millennial money. So, let's talk about landlords and landladies.
Yes.
Or property owners.
Property owners, for sure.
With tenants. Yeah. So, as a landlord, Johnny boy, what are you... Number one, what are you doing with your properties at this time?
Good question. So, I think I'm a little bit guided by the tenant. As risky as that sounds.
We're so different.
I have contacted all institutions to put the wheels in motion for a potential freeze on investment properties.
Repayments.
On repayments, yeah.
Should I do that?
I've spoken to a lot of my clients to put that in motion as a backup.
Maybe I should. This can be Glenn's clarity
call. Giving him financial advice here live. I don't think it hurts.
Okay.
To get it in motion and register and do all that thing with your institution.
Yeah.
So we can then pull the trigger quicker than not. But if my tenant is continuing to pay rent and I'm in constant communication with property managers, it's business as usual from that point of view. Now, I'm in a thankful position that majority of the properties are a cash flow positive or neutral with tenants' payments or rents. So, there's not too much of a deficit there if the tenant's paying their rent. So, it's really a case by case where you're looking at what's the property costing you to hold before tax without any rent and then seeing, well, how much have I got up my sleeve? Hang on. I've got to freeze the mortgage. The good thing about, well, not the good thing, but a positive out of it, if you did freeze your mortgage on an investment property, is once you get back to work or for this financial year, that negative component can be tax deductible. Whereas you freeze your own mortgage.
That's such a slippery slope to the... Well, that's not your sole reason. That's a benefit.
No, versus freezing your own mortgage where you're the only one responsible for it and there's no tax deductions.
Totally.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You've told me what you've done. Nothing.
No. Well, okay. So, I haven't told the bank to get ready to stop payments on the investment property loan.
Sure.
I did... Actually, I know one of my tenants' partnership, Dirty Mike. We've talked about him on the show. And sorry, guys, if they probably don't listen anyway. I'm of the view Dirty Mike's partner lost her job overnight because they couldn't by law work.
Right.
Now, they will get the... She'll get the $1,500 a fortnight. And I just asked Dirty Mike, I'm like... Have you guys still got capacities? Like, yeah, I've picked up more work doing other stuff and we've got savings and blah, blah, blah. So, there's no ability for them not to be able to pay rent. Mm-hmm. However, I just really took the opportunity. I emailed the real estate manager.
So, even though you know Dirty Mike, you've still gone through an agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which I'm thinking about ditching, but we'll get to that. Shout out if you're listening. Shout out property to market. No, they're great. Love them.
Yeah.
I emailed them and said, "Hey, I've talked to, you know, tenants. I just want to reduce the rent, even $20 a week,
yeah,
for 6 months.
Yeah.
Just as a sign of
goodwill,
helping.
Yep.
Because no one is above this, John.
No.
And I know that if you look after your tenant, they will look after you.
Totally.
If your tenant thinks you're an asshole and they spill something, there's just less of a chance of them wanting to clean it up properly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying putting good vibes out to the world, you'll hopefully get it back.
And $20 a week actually doesn't do anything for them.
No.
But it's just it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Because it would be, if I was in that position, I would want a landlord to be conscious.
Yeah. You just, it's compassionate. It's to feel good. There's definitely no downside other than the $20 a week that's missing from your bank account.
And with commercial rent, I was still hoping, and particularly New South Wales, I thought the states would have done more.
Well,
for businesses.
That clearly hasn't come out yet, though, has it? Like, well, we don't know.
I can only speak for New South Wales because I don't heaps follow the other states.
Yeah.
But New South Wales said, if you're a business that rents from a government building, we will suspend rent for 6 months. Now, I honestly would have thought, because there's that many bloody cafes, there's that many retail shops that are small business owners that have just been totally wiped out, I would have thought, like, because the states, like New South Wales said, oh, we'll stop payroll tax, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that. I would have thought some way, somehow, the states would have went small business owners, like, sure, you get your 20 grand from the federal government, you get your job seeker, keeper, meeker, leaker, whatever they're bloody calling it, all these eekers.
Yeah.
I honestly would have thought the states would have done something. And they might still.
Well, logically thinking, there's more tenants, residential tenants around the country than there are commercial tenants.
Yes.
So, why they haven't applied the same ruling for commercial is a bit baffling. But I mean, as you said, with the assistance for business owners that are potentially renting it are already there. Electricity companies, I think, said we won't charge.
I think in Queensland, they were giving everyone $200 credit.
Yeah, and I think in Victoria, it's like, well, we won't charge you your all those fees that you get, usage charges, is it?
I don't know.
Anyway, they're rebating that or not charging you for that period if you're not using as much electricity, something like that. But
now, let's read some questions and comments in the Facebook group. And I haven't read these. I'm just reading them off the cuff. Damien says, I have a mortgage and a personal loan. I was wondering if it was worth putting my mortgage on hold for 6 months and putting that payment into my personal loan.
Ooh, strategic thinking, Damien. What he's saying is the interest on the personal loan is higher than the...
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
Let's unpack this quickly and then we'll move to the other comments. Assuming Damien will assume if you aren't in financial hardship, business as usual.
Yeah.
If you haven't lost your job, business as usual. Ignore the noise, ignore everything.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. Just smash that personal loan. If you are in financial hardship, your personal loan's on minimum payments until you're back working because you're in crisis.
Yeah. Well, your personal loan could be frozen essentially too.
Call them, tell them I can't pay for 6 months. Mm. Forget about it. Put your mortgage on minimum payments.
Yeah.
Build up as much cash as you can and get through this, then reassess at the end of it. Evelyn says, my assumption was that the new government grants would enable people to continue making those payments to keep things ticking along. I think for small business, that's very different, but for the general renter, it should continue as is, surely. Yeah, that's a fair comment, but you just don't know if people's expenses are so crazy, and a lot of people live week to week.
Totally.
And there was a stat that the Grattan Institute put out that a couple of years ago, 50% of households that earned an income, 50% had less than $2,000 saved.
In the bank, yeah.
So, it's yep, makes sense, but everyone's different.
Yeah.
Louise says, what are the implications for a landlord if you reduce the rent for a short period of time, i.e. will my property manager charge me based on the normal rent? Will it affect my mortgage or insurance? So, the implications for the landlord. Mm. So, when I... the real estate called me. So, number one, I'm literally gifting the $20 a week. It's not a, I will pause and get it back at the end.
Yeah.
So, it's a little reduction. And yeah, they're actually crediting the trust account or their records.
Yep.
Just so they don't have to issue new agreements and crap like that.
Mm.
So, there's realistically no implications for the landlord other than... if you stop receiving money, your income will be less. If you are a landlord and your income's less and you can't service your mortgage, as John says, you probably should talk to your lender and pause the payments. Because yeah, you as a landlord still need to be standing at the end of this.
My thoughts and recommendations are, regardless of what you do and the decisions you're about to make, check your insurance policies first as a landlord, or anyone really, because yeah, in a lot of landlord insurance policies, if you decide, mutually decide to reduce the rent through a time like this, and then you go and claim rent default, that amount that you reduce for will not be able to be claimed, right? So, you're actually, and every policy is different on this, but if you say, look, don't pay rent through that period, then that the rent default basically goes out the window. So there's a few variables in there you need to consider as a landlord before you actually pull the trigger with your property manager, because you've got a lot of property managers ringing up or emailing saying, I recommend you do this, this and this, but they haven't thought once about how it affects their insurance policy.
Yeah, so I pulled up just for curiosity. I think I'm with Terry Shear. Is that how yep, you pronounce it? Their policy. And I'll be honest, John, it felt pretty loose. Watery.
Yeah, loose at best.
And shout out, Terry, if you're listening. And it only covered loss of rent for up to 4 weeks on my yeah, policy.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, check your landlord renter's insurance. Let me have a look at some other thing. Cameron says, I'm in a fortunate position to still be able to afford rent. If that position was to change, I would have the discussion with my real estate slash landlord slash landlady. I added the landlady in regards to this. It would all depend on how much money you were started receiving in benefits. I pay $550 a week in rent. And if I was only receiving $1,100 fortnight, I would not be able to afford any essentials. Yeah, and I guess if you did go on benefits, you'd be receiving $1,500 a fortnight. But yeah, back to our earlier comments, I think you do need to have a discussion with your land
person
and
get on the front foot.
And yeah, maybe get on the front foot, show them your COVID-19 temporary budget.
Yeah.
And I would say, Cameron, you would have access to 10 grand super this financial year.
Yeah.
So I would certainly be, because make no mistake, there, it's not free rent unless your landlord says.
Mm.
If you can't pay, you are in arrears.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and we had the same email yesterday from our school, actually, that said, if you're in hardship, let us know, but show us how you are in hardship. So, I thought that was good. It's like, well, show us your new income, new expenses, yeah, et cetera. So,
yeah, just have a conversation.
Yeah.
And again, it's that human element. We're yeah, all people.
Yes.
Let's just get along. And you want to look after your tenant. I mean, the tenant yeah, that I had in mind once that had a van and they dripped paint up the driveway and decided just to go and have a beer and a ciggy and yeah, not worry about cleaning it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was kind of happy to see them go.
Yeah, I was going to say, it might be a good time for landlords to remove yeah, their tenant.
Bonnie makes an interesting comment. I've seen a massive influx of anti-landlord sentiment on Facebook in these last 2 weeks. It's quite full on to see people being so vicious and saying, bleep the landlords. They're all rich. We're not all rich. And a lot of us rely on people paying rent or as much as if they can reasonably afford to keep a roof over our own head.
Yeah.
So, there's the question that... I want to ask you a question, John. While I look for another comment, I'll get you to answer it. There's a question of, if you're a property investor, you take on investment risk
yes,
because property is a growth asset. Is a pandemic with a tenant not being able to afford to pay their rent considered an investment risk?
Well, it's a risk that no one saw coming, and it affects arguably 95% of society. So I think it's one out of the box, that one. But one thing I would say on that is, as a sophisticated investor, you should be saying, I'm banking on 4 weeks of vacancy per year. So 4 full weeks of vacancy. So if you've buffered that amount in anyway, there's a month that you should have up your sleeve, ideally.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a bit...
And that's what I keep saying through this crisis, all bets are off.
Yeah, they are in this instance.
I mean, it's not cute to say, well, it's an investment risk, like blah, blah. Like, yeah, absolutely. It's a risk. If you didn't have the investment property, you wouldn't be exposed to this risk. Like, number one.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a time to have a philosophical discussion because it's actually not helpful.
No, it's not helpful at all. And maybe who you've surrounded by on Facebook needs to change as well.
Ooh, zing. Ella says, not the same as paying rent or not, but are the future implications for breaking your lease? We've been lucky enough to move to a family farm in regional Victoria as she has an autoimmune condition and I'm not comfortable living in inner Melbourne. We're all now wanting to break our lease, so we're not paying for a property we can't live in for 6 to 12 months. Is this reasonable or rude in the current climate? But they know the associated costs with breaking a lease.
Yeah.
I don't know what the lease breaking laws are
in state.
Victoria, but I know in New South Wales, someone had to break a lease of my property once, and it was actually not even a big deal. I think they just had to pay 6 weeks' rent.
Well, in most cases, you'll find that what happens if they break the lease, they pay for the advertising cost to get someone else in.
Right.
Right. So, if that's $500 or whatever it may be, it essentially the bond should cover that.
Yeah. But again, speak to your property owner. And just say, look, for medical reasons, we've had to actually move.
Yeah.
We're just not risking living in a built-up area.
Yeah.
I know we're in lease. We've got to pay rent elsewhere. Actually can't afford to pay you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, can we do something? Can we just have a conversation?
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, it probably will be on their rental history. So, they would need to explain that when they go and apply for something new that this was the case and this is what happened. And it's a case by case.
Nicole says, my dad's comment when everything started was that job seekers usually also receive a rent assistant package to help pay rent. Yeah, I think it's probably about $10 a fortnight. Like, it wasn't. I don't think it's huge, Nicole. Not sure. I actually don't know that much about Centrelink. Mm.
No, the lineups are big.
So, would everyone going into the seeker now be getting that top up? And should they pay for much rent as they can at least? Yeah, I'll take that as a comment. You can read these comments. So, basically, the long and the short of it is talk to your landlord. Talk to your landlady, talk to your land person, talk to your tenant.
Just communicate.
Communication is the problem and the solution.
Yeah.
And I just think, again, if you can afford to pay, pay.
Yeah.
All bets are off. Just have compassion for other people. If you are in financial hardship, make sure you get all the assistance you can. Like, so if Dirty Mike turned around and said, I've lost my job as well, I'd be like, okay, you're getting 20 grand out of your super because I still want my rent.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be a bit of an asshole to him just because he's my friend. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, we've just got to use, because this is just so unprecedented.
Yeah, it is. I think you find most people in this world are reasonable. So, but
except my landlord here.
Yeah, except old mate. But it won't be thrown under the carpet and it won't go away, I suppose.
Well, cool. Guys.
Good chat.
That was a fun chat. Don't know if we achieved anything.
Put out 2 cents worth.
Yeah. All right. See you soon.
Later.
Bye.
If you're after personal financial advice, this podcast is not for you. But if you do want a financial advisor or mortgage broker to talk with about your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com, click Get Help, and we'll put you in touch with one of our trusted professionals. If you're looking for a super fund that puts its members' interests above all else, choose a super performer, Sun Super. With low fees, strong investment returns, and great member services, SunSuper is Super Ratings 2020 Fund of the Year and has also been awarded by Money Magazine, Canstar, and Finder. Find out more about SunSuper at sunsuper.com.au/choose. You can join SunSuper online in under 5 minutes. Many people do not realise that slavery still exists in the world today. That's why My Millennial Money supports A21. We want to highlight A21 as they work to abolish slavery and human trafficking all across the world. If you want to support A21, visit a21.org.au for more information. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a high chance you have disposable income. Glenn has a mandate to get everyone giving, saving, and spending in that order. Now, we want to encourage you to be generous with your money, but choosing an effective charity can be difficult. An amazing resource you can use is thelifeyoucansave.org.au. You can donate to them, and they'll distribute your donation to a variety of life-saving and life-changing charities around the world, with a focus on eliminating extreme poverty. For more information, visit thelifeyoucansave.org.au. Thanks to Jess Knaus, executive producer, Laura from La La Social Club, and me, Asha. Anyway, make sure you stay connected via our Instagram, our free Facebook group, or if you want to turn it up a notch and be on the inside of the show, become a member of M3 Private. For further information about what's going on, check out the links in the show notes.